I know I told you just to start.
Yeah.
But I'm going to change that now.
Okay.
Okay. So every week, usually, I say something. Remember? You know, don't say. Okay. You know what I'll say? Every week I say, you're not here. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So I want you to do that in Spanish.
Okay.
Okay. So do that for me in Spanish right now. And then you can start your thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Do the welcome and then say your
name. No, just, well, you can do welcome, whatever, okay. But you can say my phrase that I always say, but I want you to say it in Spanish. You better know it. But however, I wouldn't know if you're lying to me, except somebody's going to tell me. Somebody who speaks Spanish right there is going to tell me. They're going to point me, those guys in the back are going to tell me. He didn't say it right, so you better get it right.
They shouldn't, because they're on my team.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
Starts with Buenos Dias.
But, yeah, I was kidding.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was getting there.
Okay, come on.
Hola, buenos dias.
Buenos dias. See there? Look at there. We're learning two words.
Man, we're on a roll here. Can't stop this train. Okay, hola, buenos dias. Bienvenidos a Grace Community. Y como dice el pastor Bill todos los domingos, no estamos aquí por error. Estamos aquí por diseño. I said it.
Did he say it right? I mean, okay, good. Woo! There you go, buddy.
Why is it that Jaime was the only one that put a thumbs up?
No, I heard others.
Isn't there more Spanish speakers?
No, I heard others. I heard them in the back. Everything else. Yeah, you're okay. He got okay. It right there.
Okay. Quiero empezar con esa pregunta. ¿En qué área de tu vida estás seguro o segura? Y la razón que hago esa pregunta es porque en las próximas semanas estaremos viendo, observando el tema de las áreas de construcción en nuestras vidas. Y empezamos con una área que es el tener seguridad en Cristo. Tener seguridad en nuestra relación con Él y como Él quiere que crezcamos en Él. En la seguridad que tenemos en su gracia, en su cuidado, en su amor. Y por último es esto. No tenemos que temer, sino tener temor, sino tenemos que caminar con seguridad en Él.
Yeah, somebody understood. Okay, so... Two people understood it. All right. So this last, usually, every once in a while, those of us who don't speak Spanish, we can guess what the message is about because there's key buzzwords that he says. Like a couple weeks ago, he said, dinero. We knew we're coming. Here's money. Here it comes. And there's some other things that he would say. Now, if you don't speak Spanish today, I doubt if you know what we're talking about because that was kind of like, I didn't even know what we're talking about. But there was a buzzword in there. It doesn't translate well into Spanish, the buzzword that he had. Little do I know that, until he said it in the first service. So there is a message, and the last few weeks we've been looking at the process of what we need to beat in our lives. We need to beat bitterness. We need to beat the blues. We need to beat busyness. We need to beat the barriers that keep us from financial bondage. We've looked at a number of things that we just need to beat. We need to beat the fear and the barriers that keep us from sharing Christ. I want to go the opposite side of that now. For the next few weeks, I want to look at not what we need to beat in our life, the things that we need to gain victory over, but I want to look at the issues of what do we need to build. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at what are we building? Let's build together. As a believer and as a family of Christ, what is it that we need to build? And I want to start today with what I believe is the foundation area. The foundation is kind of a shotgun approach. We'll come back and look at some of these things in the next few weeks in more depth, and we'll build other things as well. But I want to look at today because I think this is the foundation line of if we're going to build today, if we're going to have. In fact, I noticed, I don't know if you said it, but in your notes you said construction. Did you actually say that? Okay. The issue of construction. I thought maybe that would be the buzzword, but they didn't catch it. The construction of building here. What are we building? And today, I think, like never before, we as believers, in the foundation of our faith, we need to build in the area of confidence. What do we... to build confidence. Building confidence in our life. Now, obviously, as you look at building confidence, some of you, there's a danger within that, because some of you are going to say, well, there's self-confidence. And that's the flip side of a coin. We need self-confidence in our life. There's no doubt about it. There's sometimes we want to have that confidence where we say, God, you prepared me for this. I've been educated for this. It's not an arrogant self-confidence. It's not a proud self-confidence. It's not saying I don't need anybody else. That would be the wrong side of it. I have no dependence upon anybody. I'm me. I'm my boss. I control my life. I don't need anybody else. That's a dangerous self-confidence. There is a self-confidence that we deal with in our life, though, that says, listen, I can take care of this. I can fix this. I mean, you know, some people, you want to have self-confidence. I mean, if any of you are facing surgery, you don't really want to go and say, man, I hope I can do this. I've never operated on this before, but it can't be that hard. I mean, blood's blood, you know, just open it up. You want the person that has confidence, don't you? You want the person who's trained, who's ready to go. And so we need to have confidence in self, but a proper self-confidence. It's not the same as a dangerous self-love where we love ourselves. There's a proper self-love that we love ourselves. He says we're to love our neighbor as ourself. Well, if you hate yourself, your neighbor's in trouble, I would say. That's what Roy Rogers used to say, some of you who are old enough to remember, that he would say, if you can't love yourself, your neighbor's in big trouble. The reality is there's a proper self-love where we love ourselves the way God does, where we see ourselves the way God does, where we value ourselves the way God does. Therefore, we can love others, our neighbors, as we love the proper view of ourselves. There's the right side of self-confidence, and there's the wrong side of self-confidence. To think that you need no one, to think that you're just confident and that you can do it all, that would be the wrong side of that. But we need to build a foundation within the self. But we also need to build confidence in Christ. Confidence in Christ. Many in the Old Testament and in the New Testament alone, part of the re-education when Christ came, Emmanuel, God with us, he had to reteach them because what they felt like, God was a concept. He was a concept, not a reality. He was this God who created the world, and here's the world, and he kind of kicked it in motion, and there goes the world, and now you do with your own thing, work it out. But I'm this cosmic God. I have this great idea, but it just kicks it off into motion. The reality is that we need to have a reliance upon him, more than just this cosmic thought, but a reliance and a dependence upon him. Confident in him, regardless of the situation. And we need today to build the confidence in our life, to understand that there's a self-confidence, but then there's also a God confidence, a Christ confidence, that it, amongst everything, I need to depend solely upon him. You know, you need to have confidence in your kids in the sense that you give them to Christ. Not that you have confidence in your kid that they're going to make every right decision or be the greatest kids, or that you're going to be able to watch them 24/7. Those of us who have kids and grandkids a little older, we know we come back to the point where we have to have confidence in our life that, God, they are your. We have to be able to give them to them. God, they're yours. I can't live my life every bit of with my kids. So we have to have confidence in ourselves, in a sense, and in Christ. And within that, to understand confidence in Christ, it begins in this, that you must be confident and have confidence in your relationship to Christ. You must have confidence in your relationship to Christ. Man, he wants a personal relationship with you. He is not a cosmic force that's kind of moving around and, you know, you kind of get the funnel effect when you need it. He wants a personal relationship with you. John 10:10 says that he came that we might have life and have it to the fullest. He wants that life within us. That issue of having that personal relationship with him. Let me just tell you, it bothers me. And some of you are going to, and in this church, I hear some say this. So just hang on. And usually I know what you mean, but I'm afraid the world may not. And I hope you do know what you mean. But it bothers me on a theological and a personal relationship basis when I hear people say, I have been a believer my entire life. Because you weren't. You weren't. I'll change my verbiage in this service from the last service. When you were born, I had other verbiage in the last service. It wasn't. Thank you. Yeah, Venetia said thank you. In other words, when you came squirting out, when you came squirting out with all that stuff, you weren't a believer. You weren't. You were a baby born, but you were not a believer in the Lord Jesus. And people who say, oh, I've been a believer all my life. You may be saying I was raised in the church. Cool, I was too. You may be saying I was always in a religious environment. Cool, I was too. You may always say, all these things, they may be true. But you are not born a child of God in the personal sense. And I ask people, say, I've been a believer all my life. I said, when was the time? Was there some time? Not a specific moment, perhaps. Perhaps it was a process. But where you realized you needed to trust Christ as your Savior. As a child, it may have been as a child or as an adult. And it's important to know because the foundation of confidence in Christ begins in your confidence in your relationship with him. If you have no confidence in Christ, it'd be understandable if you, well, I really don't know him. He's a great concept. It's a great thought. But you don't know him. I mean, I could have used that forever. I was a believer since I was born. I mean, I was born going to church. Born around church, born in church, just born. I mean, everything. The problem was, I thought I was a believer for the longest time. Because I become so anesthetized to it. And it wasn't until high school that I finally realized, wait a minute, I know God. I know all about him, but I don't have a personal relationship with him. So the foundation of this relationship, confidence, begins in a relationship with Christ. But not just the personal one, there's also the eternal relationship with Christ. Now, I know some of you, you disagree here, and I'll be gracious and say, go to the Word. I don't find it in the Word. But there are those here who believe that your relationship with Christ is not eternal. In other words, that you could lose your salvation. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. God says he takes his Spirit, he places it within us. Not only does he place his Spirit within us, he seals us, he says. Seals us. That means, I guess, it says he adopts us as his children. He adopts us. When we claim him, there's an eternal viewpoint that one day we'll be with him in eternity. We'll be in heaven. But there's also the eternal view right now that when you give your life to Christ, you are his. Now, I know there are many, and we have good people in this church who love the Lord, who do not believe that. But I just don't see that we are going to be sealed and unsealed. And I sin, so now, and what sin is it that I lost my salvation, or where am I at? And does God take the Spirit of adoption and take it off me, so now I'm a foster child again? Do I go back and forth into this relationship? When he said he set his nature within me, when he's given me light, he says there's light and darkness have nothing to do, so I guess if I'm unsealed and back in the foster system, darkness comes back in me, and then I pray, and I get back in the light again, and I'm sealed again, and really that means I'm sealed into nothing because it's not a seal. It's kind of just like a Ziploc bag that doesn't work. You need to realize that our confidence in our relationship with Christ is I am justified, I am sealed to the day of redemption when I give my life to Christ. He pronounces me. His work is done, not mine. His work redeemed me. His work justified me. His work declared me righteous. His work, not mine. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. If there's no condemnation, how do I lose that salvation? It would have to be through condemnation, correct? Are you with me? You with me? I hope. Because if you're saved, if he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you are born again, you are sealed to the day of redemption by his Spirit. Romans 5 says he takes his Spirit, he seals it upon you. It's spread abroad through our life and our heart. Now, if I'm going to lose my salvation because of whatever sin I commit or whatever sin that may be or a mindset or whatever, if I'm going to lose that salvation, then within that, God has to look and say, that sin is condemned. I didn't forgive that sin. Are you with me? And so condemnation, there is condemnation. If you don't have an eternal perspective within that. Now, listen, I believe it firmly. Believe the Word teaches that. And I love those of you who don't. This is not something, quite frankly, that it's a hill that I would die on. Why? Because I believe I'm eternally secure. The hill, you might need to check that out. Because if you died on the wrong side of that hill, you're in trouble. Right? If for some reason, all of a sudden, oh man, I just lost my salvation, bam, there goes the elephant in the room, boom, you're done. Sorry. But see, the work is done by him, it's not done by us, and that's what we come back to. So to have confidence begins in your relationship with him. From that, we also need to build confidence in prayer in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray continually. Not just driving bumper cars, bumping into stuff, but have the attitude of our heart that in every situation we face, we consider God. Consider God. That's walking by faith, really, and praying is considering God, that we pray, God, what teach me here. Do you realize that we have a prayer hearing God? 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Listen, we can approach God. We're going to see that in just a little bit. That if we ask anything according to his will, there's the qualifier, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. He hears our prayer. God does not turn a deaf ear to that. God hears the prayer of every person. Every person. Believer or unbeliever, God hears the prayer. Because if he didn't hear the prayer, he wouldn't hear the prayer of my, when I gave my life to Christ saying, God, I need you as my Savior. But we have a prayer hearing God. We need to build confidence in prayer, that when life doesn't go right, that we can go to prayer. We can go right to him. That curtain was torn when in the temple, the curtain was rent in two. We can go right into the Holy of Holies. There's no need for a mediator. There's no need for a priest or anybody else to go and take our burdens to God. We can go right to his throne room. However, I'm also glad today to know, immediately know, that when there are things in my life or in your life that you don't even have the words, you just cannot form the words to pray. That part of the Spirit of God within us is that, listen, you don't have to have the words to say, because he in groaning and before the throne in words that we don't even know. Romans 8 tells us that. In the same way, the Spirit who God places within us is in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. When your life seems so overwhelming, the cup of your life has been shaken, you say, God, I don't even know what to pray. In fact, I can't even pray right now. He says the ministry of the Spirit of God is, God, hey, my child, our child is suffering here. Our child's needing repair here. Our child is hurting here. And I'm praying on her behalf. There is a mediator, the Spirit of God, who goes before the throne room for you and for me when we don't even know what to pray. Man, that should make somebody say hallelujah, because when you don't know what to say, that's what God's doing for us. And we come to that issue. We have to have that confidence in praying. As we pray, we go beyond that, though, the confidence in growth. We need to have a confidence in growth. You hear me say that when you come to know Christ, you may not like change, but when we come to know Christ, we are in a change agent. We are in a process of change. God says you are born in him and you're a baby, and from that babe, we want to grow and mature, grow and mature. You don't want to be staying a baby. We have growth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He's created us a new creation. Philippians 1 says that he who began this new work, this good work in you, will see it through to completion. God has begun a work in you, that there's a growth work that takes place. Romans 12:2 says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Why? Because we want to become more and more like the image of Christ. We need to have confidence that God is doing a work in your life. God is growing you. What he says. When we have a desire to grow, we have a desire to seek him, he says, you're going to grow. That's the confidence in growth. And sometimes the greatest areas of growth that we need to see, and the areas that we need to see and confidence most, is when we have circumstances in our life that just quite frankly stink. The confidence in the circumstances of our life. You know this verse well. I think many misunderstand a verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, that verse does not say that all things are good. They're not. Some things just stink. But we can have confidence in the circumstances of our life that when some of those things, either, whether we can have any control over it or not, God, we can have hope and confidence that God can take everything, any circumstance in our life, and ultimately, the purpose of giving honor and glory to him can be seen throughout that. No matter what that circumstance is, no matter what that situation is, that the goal is that in any circumstance, how can we honor and glorify God? What is the biblical remedy to this situation? That should be our goal. That we have confidence in the circumstance that God can deal with that and will deal with that. That we have confidence in those circumstances. In all things, in everything, we can have confidence. But not only in all things, he says, we can also know his presence, that in his presence he is with us. He says, I am with you always. The Great Commission ends that way. I am with you. He says, even in Philippians, he says, listen, don't be anxious about anything, for I am with you. I am with you. He's not just a force, a cosmic thought. He's in our hearts and in our lives. This morning as well, not only confidence in our circumstances, but I think theologically we need to come to a confidence in who and know who Christ is. A confidence in knowing who Christ is. Who this God in his Son and the Spirit, he is God. Sometimes I think we think God is this anemic, weak, you know, good thought, crutch, that we hold on to. We elevate Satan and his forces and think that they are on the par with God. Not at all. God is the creator God, the creator of the universe. He knew you before you were even a thought. He put your inward most thoughts together and presence together. In all, he says, I am with us. But we need to know who he is. His dwelling within us. His power. He's not anemic or weak. He's the creator God. Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 20. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over all everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Listen, God is a powerful God. Christ is a power. We need to know who Christ is. Philippians tells us that one day, even the people who deny him now, one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day. The God who changed you, who you serve, is a powerful God. Is there hope in every situation? Yes, there is. It may be dark, it may be bleak, but there is hope. Because God is God. If those involved in that situation will allow God to be God, there is always hope within that situation. However, I will tell you, after 36 years of ministry and a lot of that in counseling, the reality is there is no hope if the people involved in that have no desire to honor God within that. That's the qualifier. And yet, even within that, if that's not the case, God can still bring honor and glory to him throughout that. Confidence in who Christ is. Confidence in the truth. We have the truth. Listen, I know it's not politically correct today to say, you know, boy, we have the truth. But John 14, 6, it's very clear. He says, Jesus answered, I am the way, only way, and the only truth, and the only life. No man comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have the truth. We have this truth that he is the truth. A great study is to realize we are not here just worshiping something that, okay, well, maybe it's right, or they've changed it over years. You need to take the time to look at the prophecies of God's word, some that were written years and years and years in advance, who are fulfilled now. And if one of them isn't, if one was a lie, if one didn't, then we shouldn't even be here today. We ought to be eating nachos waiting for the Super Bowl. Because if one promise, if one prophecy wasn't fulfilled, then he's nothing but a liar. He had a great track record, but he was a liar. But we have the truth. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. I understand we're so politically correct, but we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I don't either. By design, you don't want to be harsh. But within that, know that you have the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. This morning as well, I think we can be confident in his faithfulness. Confidence in his faithfulness. He is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Aren't we glad that God's faithfulness is based upon him? It's a covenant with himself that we looked at, not our faithlessness, but on his faithfulness. He is faithful. Be confident in that. No matter where you find your life, no matter if you find it, be confident, God, I know you're going to be faithful here. I may not see it. I may not see it. I can't see you're working. All I can do right now is trust your heart. That's all I can do. To know that he is faithful. And this morning, most of all, the last two, first, we can be confident in grace. Confident in grace. That's really important, folks. To realize that God gave us his grace, it's nothing that we bring to the table. Ephesians 2, 4 to 10, you know part of this verse very well, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You see that in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not by works, because if it were, we'd boast about it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. To know the purpose of our life is to bring honor and glory to him. It is grace. It is grace. Hebrews 4:16 as well. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, the issue of grace, when we understand confidence in grace, what grace does is it helps me step off of the spiritual treadmill where I think it's about me. Where I got to do this, I got to do that. I bring something to this table. You know, as one of my friends says, you think you're that in a bag of chips. The problem is, we are all that and a bag of crushed chips. That's what we are. We're not whole. We're crushed and broken. And it's by grace, through faith, trusting in Him. It's not about what we bring. It's not our purpose. He redeems us. He justifies us. He sanctifies us. He declares us righteous. He says, I've adopted you and I've sealed you. And step off the treadmill of thinking you bring anything to this table. Which leads us right into the greatest confidence that we can have today. And that is the greatest confidence in His love for us. Man, I'm thankful for that. Some of the greatest passages in the Word. Hebrews is known, quite frankly, as the confidence book because you go through it, know this, know that, have confidence and confidence. But Romans is right behind it. And Romans 8:38, you know this verse, for I am convinced, determined, that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present, future, powers, height nor depth, anything else in all of creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. We need to be confident in His love. Confident because when we are confident in grace, listen to me, when we are confident that it's about God's grace for me, when it's about confidence in His love for me, it then allows me to go into the world to be confident in His grace for others and in His love for others. I don't need to judge them. I don't need to look at them and devalue them. I can value them because it was my own value. I was the broken bag of chips. They're the broken bag of chips. It's by God's grace that He saved you. It's by God's grace that He values them. I am no one to say, you have less value than me. You saved me. You delivered me. I brought nothing to this table because it's not about us. Therefore, I love people. I can minister to people. I can offer them the grace of God to any individual. To any individual, because of His grace. I forgot about this until just now. Last week I told you that God spanked me, remember? You guys were here? That I went through the squawk box to order a cup of coffee? Remember? True confession, man. And I thought, man, that guy's voice, he was bright, cheery. Wow, this is a guy I just really want to know. I mean, He must know Jesus because he's just so bright on the squawk box. And I got my coffee. I drove around. And when I drove up to that window, here was this guy that had dreads that long. Pierces. I mean, rubber bands. And I'm thinking, God, thank you. God, thank you. This week, I don't know what day it was, I found myself in Starbucks. I'm simple. Can I have an iced tea, please? Not with everything in it, just iced tea. Trente, or whatever they call it. I just want the largest black iced tea you got. And next to me, I turn around. And it was him. I said, man, you don't know me. He says, no, I don't. You're weird. I probably could have said the same about you. I said, you don't know me, but you taught me a lesson. And I just looked at him and said, you taught me not to judge by external appearances. I didn't go into detail. And I said, so what are you having today? I'm buying. It was one of those God moments. No, I didn't share Jesus with him. I didn't get down and say, God, rain fire down, you know, cut his dreadlocks off. No, I didn't do that. It's only because of God's grace and God's love that we need to get beyond looking at people and judging them because of what they look like. We need to see them as valuable before God. And I can love them because of His grace. He first loved me. I can love him because he loved me, and nothing's going to separate that. And so I can give that love freely to others because it's not like I'm going to run out. He keeps filling it. Let's go being confident today in our relationship with him. Let's go being confident today that we can come to him and say, God, use my life, bring honor and glory to every situation I'm in today. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for those God moments. I pray that today we will leave learning confidence in our life, in our relationship with you and your presence in our life, that we will have hope and confidence today, and no matter what the situation we find ourselves in our life, that we will have confidence that you are with us, that you can bring honor, you can heal, you can restore, you can bring glory to yourself through it. I pray as we go out of here that, God, you will teach each of us the lesson of giving grace, of giving love, because of how much you have given us grace, forgiven us, and loved us. May we not judge by the external, but may we value because you first valued us. Thank you for loving us, that nothing will separate that. Thank you for the grace that declared me righteous and righteous before you. And my relationship is secure. Thank you for this time, for this day. Encourage each heart. In your sons we pray. Amen.